Search for Truth 2 is the Bible study that we've been going through for the last 11 weeks. Give yourselves a hand. You made it 11 weeks. Guess what? There's only one more to go. I was telling the group before service tonight that we chose the most in-depth study you could get so that you know the rest are easier. There's lots of Bible studies out there. There are some Bible studies. Pastor had that table out, and he showed us all the options that we have. You can spend a little bit of time, or you can spend a lot of time in God's Word. We should always be spending time in God's Word. But if you're first getting started in a Bible study, know that there are many different ways to do that. And if you're wondering, like, how do I do that? I feel like I really want to take a Bible study and I want to learn more. Come see us. We'll help you do that. You say, you know what? I feel like I need to teach this. Come talk to us and we'll help get you materials. We have a lot of different options to look at. It's not one size fits all or one size gets it all done, but there is one source for every Bible study that we use, and it is the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, our study tonight is basically a timeline of the signs of the end of time, as it's called, the end of time, meaning the time when Jesus comes back and everything that we know ends. Nothing to be afraid of. Sometimes people hear that and they're like, I don't know what that means and I don't like the sound of that. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's definitely something to be aware of, but nothing to be afraid of. We're not taking a deep dive study into Revelation. You can breathe. Jane, do you remember that time during COVID when they said, let's do a deep dive study into Revelation? I think you had something to do with that. So we did it, and I went in, and I wasn't looking forward to it, but when I walked out of it, I was like, oh, that's not so bad. Because the thing that we have to remember in all of this and everything that we read here, this is all for us about the revelation of who God is, what he's doing, and what he desires to do in all of us. And the good news is that no matter what happens, he's on the throne, he's in control, and you and I, we're just called to be faithful. Just be faithful witnesses through it all, because he's on the throne. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to examine some scriptures, a few scriptures, to understand Jesus' answer to his curious disciples in Matthew chapter 24 when they said, hey, Jesus, what will be the sign that you're coming back? What will be the sign that you're returning and that the world's about to end? Jesus gave them a very clear answer. He described a specific generation of people who would see a lot of amazing and shocking things that would happen quickly. The final event would be him returning, him coming back to take us home. What an exciting day that will be. It's not a day to fear. It's not a day to dread. It's an exciting day when he's going to take us home. Did you know that the Bible talks about Jesus coming back over 300 times in the New Testament? Don't worry, we're not reading all of those tonight. But there's over 300 references to his return. The truth of the matter is that we don't know the day and we don't know the hour that he's coming back. We don't know. But scriptures tell us of the time. And we would do well to recognize the time to understand how close we are to his return. And that's what we're going to do tonight. The Bible, the Word of God, is something that never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change. The truths in his word are something that you can depend on, something that you can cling to, something that can lead you through life. It will never, ever change. But as a teacher, or as someone who's going to teach, I want to talk to you a little bit about curriculum or the Bible study material that you're using. So we're using a Bible study called Search for Truth. And the goal of this is to search for truth. And it's based on the Word of God. But when you dig into this, sometimes you find that it starts to show its age a little bit. when you start going through studies like the one that we're doing tonight. And it kind of popped up for me when I was preparing for this lesson, and I started looking at the scriptures, and I was like, okay, I see where we're going here. But then I quickly realized that if I start sharing with you the data points that they're sharing with me, you'd be like, Jess, it's 2025. So what does that tell me? That tells me that when we're working with material, we need to look through it, and we need to prepare ourselves for it. So as I was going through it and I was looking at statistics, I found myself going and looking up and saying, wait, here's the current statistic, here's the current statistic. So why am I telling you that? Because as a teacher, the curriculum or the Bible study is a tool. This is the truth. We will never wander from the truth. This is God's word. This is the gospel. This is where we take our doctrine from. Period. Amen. Now, when we start doing studies and looking at different materials, that's where we need to be very mindful of the times, understanding, and knowing, like, okay, we need to update some of these statistics here. And then what we also need to be doing every time that we teach is saturating our lessons in prayer. Because there's incredible things that the Holy Spirit can do that you never thought to do. And it happens all the time when I teach. Sometimes, I remember the very first time, and I'm just like, oh, I don't think I could do this. How am I going to teach? I don't know anything. What if they ask me this question, and I can't answer that question? What am I going to do? And what if, and what if, and what if? And I just scared myself right out of doing it. But I did it. And I did it afraid. Because I knew greater is he who's in me, right? His Spirit is there to lead us and to guide us. We have the truth. If we stay in the scriptures and we stay grounded there, but we're saturating everything in prayer, the Holy Spirit will lead you and it will guide your conversation. And if you don't know the answer to the question, it's okay to say, I don't know the answer to that question. But let's look into it together. And when we come back next time, we'll study it more, okay? That's your teaching tip. That's your bonus for tonight. All right, so coming back to tonight. Tonight, Jesus and his disciples listed many specific signs that would happen during the final generation. So we're going to examine some of those scriptures together. And then what I have done is I've done a little light research. The emphasis is more on what the scripture says versus what all of the statistics are. But I know some of you just really love to get into all of those stats. So there's a few here for you. Not all of them, but there's a few. So the very first scripture we're going to look at is Matthew 24:6. Which says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And Mark 13:7, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. All I can hear is my niece saying, not yet, when mommy was pregnant. The baby's not here, not yet. It's okay, there's gonna be trouble, but the end is not yet. Right, Ellie? Did you know that there's an active global conflict tracker? Well, you guys can Google it later. Not yet. Google it later. It's actually very interesting because I popped on there to get some statistics about what the current wars that are going on, and there's this global map, and it has these spots all over it that show you what's happening, what conflict is taking place. So if you're looking for something extra to pray about, there you go. You can go on there, and you can find out that the major ongoing wars include conflict between Israel and Hamas, the Russia-Ukraine war that's been going on for a few years, civil wars in Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. It doesn't take much for us to know what's happening because of our 24/7 news cycles and social media that are just constantly bombarding us about wars and rumors of wars. More signs in Matthew 24:7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Luke 21:11 says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. These signs, poverty. The World Bank estimates that as of last year, over 700 million people live on less than $2.15 a day. most of us in this room might have, between us and our family members, might have that in our pockets. That's extreme poverty. Famine. The United Nations World Food Program reported that over 330 million people were facing acute hunger in 2024. Many countries like Sudan, Gaza, Afghanistan, and Haiti are currently facing famine-like conditions. There is famine. Sometimes I feel like here in the United States, we're sheltered from a lot of what's happening over most of the world. Pestilence. Pestilence is disease. Diseases. COVID-19 pandemic. Anyone heard about that? Yeah, that. The World Health Organization said that that pandemic caused over 7 million confirmed deaths worldwide. That's a lot of pestilence. Beyond that, there are other diseases that are surging. 32 countries reported a cholera outbreak in 2025, reporting more deaths already this year than last year, which last year was already 50% more than the year before. Poverty, famine, pestilence. According to the United States Geological Survey, the annual number of significant earthquakes, a magnitude of 6.0 or greater, has shown a noticeable increase in frequency over the past century, now stating there are over 1,300 earthquakes annually of a magnitude of 5.0 or greater, the signs of the time. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." That's none of you, right? Right. "Thankless, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." The global entertainment and media market was valued at over $2.7 trillion in 2023. Social media usage averages over 2.5 hours a day per user globally, and Americans spend 4.2 hours per day on mobile gaming. Well, that highlights a major cultural focus shift. Entertain me attitude. Make me happy. Happiness in my pocket all the time on those cell phones. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Heart failure. Luke 21:26 says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The World Health Organization reports that anxiety disorders are amongst the most common mental disorders globally, with an estimated 301 million people affected. In the United States alone, it covers 19.1% of our population. Phrases like "hearts failing them for fear" align with our modern epidemic of stress-induced cardiovascular issues. Heart disease is still the number one cause of death globally. Every 34 seconds, someone dies of heart disease. Signs of the time. Luke 17:28-30. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that the Lord went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Remember what 2 Timothy 3 said? Let's read it again. 2 Timothy 3:1-4. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankless, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Just a glance at the simple headlines of the day tell us exactly where our world is at with this sign. Daniel 12:4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. I came across this and I was like, oh, that seems appropriate. We live in the age of junk information. We have more information available to us than ever before, and it's consumed at alarming rates. How many memes do you get in a day? How many TikToks are you sharing? That's information. Information that's being shared. The amount of data in the world is estimated to grow to over 180 zettabytes by 2025. That's this year. What's a zettabyte? Yeah, I don't know either. I know what a terabyte is, but a zettabyte? I don't know. That's a lot. It's a lot. The number of scientific and technical journal articles published annually has exploded from about 1.5 million in 1990 to over 5 million today. There's 5.3 billion internet users globally, and it's growing. It means that people are literally running to and fro in the digital realm, accessing more information than ever before. The signs of the time. We can look within the church to see the religious signs of the time in our next chart. 2 Peter 3, 3-4 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is this God that you say is returning? Things are just happening. People start to taunt. Is it real? Is it really going to happen? They're scoffing. Apostasy and worldliness creeps in to the church. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We are in the age of junk information. Know your word. Run it by the word. Just because you found it online doesn't make it truth. Just because it's someone else's opinion doesn't make it truth. Line it up with the word of God. Understand that this is truth. My opinion is not the truth. Your opinion is not the truth. This is the truth. Know it. Read it. Consume it. Maybe get rid of one of those 2.5 hours of social media. Maybe a half hour could go to reading. Signs of the times. There will be false Christs and cults. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Know the truth. Know the word of God. Remember the original sin? Satan distorted one thing into a question. Know the truth. Witchcraft. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Witchcraft. The occult has been around since ancient days. It's nothing new. It's nothing new, but never before have we seen it flourish as much as it's flourishing today. Jesus warns us in the Bible. He warns us to be aware of its hidden dangers. Be careful what you allow in. Be careful the doors that you open. I'm not going to get into specifics tonight, but be careful of the crystals that you think are okay. Be careful what you bring in. It's not harmless. It's actually dangerous for your soul. Now, all of that, I do have good news. Not all the signs of the end times are Debbie Downers. They're not all negative. In the book of Acts, Peter quoted a passage from the book of Joel. This passage is a reference to the great expansion and the incredible revival that we're going to see in the last days. We're living in it, I believe. Acts 2:17, 18 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." This tells me that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Expect visions. Expect dreams. Expect prophecies. Expect the Holy Spirit to do the supernatural. It's an exciting time. It really is an exciting time to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's His Spirit living inside of us. There's a growing hunger. We're seeing more and more who are searching and are looking. They're like, you know what? I've been in here. I've read this, and I want more. I believe there's more. And they're searching, and they're hungry. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the power. And if you don't have it, you can get it tonight. You can have it. The promise is for you, for your children, to all that are afar off. That's all of us. It's ours. It's an exciting time to be living for Christ. Don't ever forget, you don't have to live this alone. It's not up to you to get all the do's checked and all the don'ts crossed off. Reach for Him. Yes. Connect with Him. Yes. Be filled with His Spirit and let Him flow through you. That's all He's asking of you. Just be a conduit. Be a conduit for Christ. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Mark 13:10 says, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." This was exciting research. Wycliffe, they have a really great website if you ever want to go find out a lot of information about Bible stuff, translations, what they're doing. They say that the Bible, or some of the Bible, has been translated into over 3,500 languages in 173 countries. As of August 1st of this year, just 544 of the world's 7,396 living languages are on the waiting list for Bible translation to begin. A year ago, that number was 985. In 2020, it was more than 2,000. In 1999, way back when we graduated high school, Pastor, it was more than 5,000. We're incredibly close to the Bible reaching every nation. We're incredibly close to that coming true. We are close to Jesus coming. The signs of the time. Rejoice! Don't be all sad and gloom and doom. It's the end of time. Yeah, it's the end of time as we know it. But if it doesn't end here, it can't begin there. Don't forget that. The digital revival. Yes, we live in the age of junk information. But wow, what the digital revival has done. This digital age has created some really cool avenues for the gospel to be shared. Online sermons, social media ministries, Bible apps. How many of you have the YouVersion Bible? Quite a few. This Bible app has been installed on nearly 1 billion unique devices. That's a lot of people. This is part of fulfilling the gospel being proclaimed to every nation. The signs of the time are telling us that it's almost time. It's almost time. Israel. We can look to Israel to see more signs of the end. Scripture speaks of the regathering of Israel. I'm not going to read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 37, but verses 1 through 28 talks about the valley of dry bones, detailing to us the physical and spiritual restoration of Israel. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. You can read it. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 28, but not right now. Ezekiel 36, 33 through 35 says, "Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, 'This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited.'" Psalms 102:16 says, "For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." The state of Israel was officially reestablished May 14th, 1948, after nearly 1,900 years of Jewish exile. This event alone fulfills numerous prophecies of regathering. Israel's population has grown from approximately 806,000 at its founding to over 9.8 million as of last year, with nearly half of the world's Jewish population now living in Israel. Ezekiel's prophecy of the desolate land becoming rebuilt and tilled has been physically fulfilled. Israel is a world leader in agriculture technology, ag tech, and desert farming. Through irrigation and innovation, they've made the desert bloom and become a major exporter of fruits, vegetables, and flowers, just as it was foretold. The signs of the time are telling us we're getting close. A city regained. Luke 21, 24 says, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." It's happening. Aren't you excited? Yes. Aren't you excited? Yes. Well, say it like you mean it. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Admittedly, in times past, any times that we've started like to dig into end time stuff, or like I said, getting into the book of Revelation, I felt like it caused so many more questions than answers. And the truth of the matter is, it can bring up a lot of questions. And you know what is kind of wired into each one of us as human beings? Tell me why. Why? Why? Why is that going to happen? Why is it in there? Why does it have to be that way? Why? The why doesn't matter. The who matters more. He's on the throne. He's in control. It's going to get crazy. Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to me, and you're coming through. That's basically what he's trying to tell us. So when it's falling apart and everything looks like it's a mess, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. I feel like I could just sit down now. But we're not done. Conflicts of the nation. Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk about the prophecy of Gog and Magog, a great coalition of nations that will come against Israel. Luke 21, 20 says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know its desolation is near." There's persistent hostility that we see towards Israel, and scriptures tell us that we will know that the end is near when we see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Be aware of the times, but know who's in control. Blood sacrifices will be restored. Matthew 24, 15 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Revelation 11, 1 through 2 says, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. A quick Google search tells about temple institution preparations that are going on right now. I'm not going into great detail on that, but know that it is happening, that they have begun. The work is in progress. They are even working to what was once the major hurdle of restoring sacrifices is the requirement of the red heifer, the pure red heifer. It's happening. It's happening. I started to research it, and I was just like, boy, you can go off on some rabbit trails. And you can read that, and it's just like, wow, it's happening. It's happening. The continuing story of humanity records that nations rise and nations fall. Great nations that have influenced the world and culture and commerce have experienced their victories and their defeats. Archaeologists today probe the ruins of many nations that used to exist. There's probably not a story that tells the history so well as the prophetic dream of a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. You can read all about him in Daniel chapter 2, verses 3 through 45. You've got a long reading list that you've been building tonight. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. He reigned during the fall in captivity of the nation of Israel. And one night he had a dream that would foretell events that would occur over centuries. Mighty kingdoms would be represented in this dream. Israel was in Babylonian captivity because of its backsliding. But God revealed who would rule over the land during the coming centuries. And Daniel, a prophet of God, was chosen because he had gained great respect in the kingdom of Babylon. He was chosen to interpret the dream. In the dream, there was a great metal man. The head was gold. The chest was silver. His belly and thighs were made of brass. The legs were iron, and his feet were part of iron and clay. In the dream, a stone struck the feet and broke them into pieces. And this statue of the metal man was destroyed. It became like dust in the wind, carried away. But the stone then became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The head of gold represents Babylon, which ruled the Jews in the Middle East at the time of the dream. The kingdom lasted from 606 BC to 538 BC. The city of Babylon was at its prime of its influence during this time. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of seven wonders of the world. Over 1 million inhabitants of the city never thought it would fall, but it did. The breast and arms of silver were the Medo-Persian, the Medes and the Persians. Darius was king of the Medes, and the Persians eventually became dominant. But this kingdom, initially a dual kingdom as portrayed by the two arms, only lasted until 330 BC. The belly and thighs of brass represent Greece. Alexander the Great came out of the West with conquest on his mind. He conquered the Persian Empire in 330 BC and established an empire based on Greek language and culture. After his death in 323 BC, the empire was divided into four parts among his four generals. The Greece Empire lasted until 160 BC when the Romans conquered it. Then we have the legs of iron, which represent the Roman Empire. The legs represented the Roman Empire, which lasted for many centuries. And later years, it was divided into Eastern and Western divisions. The feet of iron and clay represent the revived Roman Empire, a 10-nation confederacy represented by the 10 toes Daniel 7 and Revelation 17 tells us about. This world power will arise in the territory of the original Roman Empire in the last days, and during this time, the Antichrist will begin to rule the world. All this will lead to the Great Tribulation and to the Battle of Armageddon. But the stone, who does the stone represent? Who does the stone represent? Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon will destroy all the kingdoms of this world and the world system. Jesus Christ, the final kingdom that will fill the whole earth, is not a man-made kingdom. It's entirely of supernatural origin. The stone is Christ, the rock on which the church is built. In his dream, the stone was miraculously cut out of a mountain without hands, and it smote the feet of the image until it broke into pieces. The stone shall suddenly appear striking the image and shattering it to pieces. He will come when all empires have passed away in the days of the ten toes or a multi-nation world. Christ's kingdom doesn't have a gradual, peaceable beginning, but will instantly shatter and consume the former kingdoms, and then it will stand forever. Forever. Because we are living in the last days of the times of the Gentiles. The book of Daniel is extremely significant. The book of Revelation can really only be unlocked when you correctly interpret it through the prophecies of Daniel. It's okay, we're not going to do all that tonight. But just know that if there's something here that sparked an interest, number one, we want to get into a Bible study with you. Love, 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 love chewing through the Word of God, and we want to do that with you. Or maybe you want to do it yourself, and that's why I say read this or go here. Because once you start going and start looking and start searching, it becomes addictive. And you start seeing what God is doing. And the scriptures say that those who seek him with their whole heart will find him. If you're looking for answers, this is the place to look. Praise God. You doing okay? Let's all stand. Stretch and then sit back down. I'm just going to sit for 1 second. We're almost there. But you can be seated because we are going to continue. That was for Mo. Is she here tonight? No, she's not. Mo, if you're watching, that was for you. We talked about the importance of stretching. And I said, oh, I'll do that. Thanks for stretching with me. All right, chart 5. We've got chart 5 tonight, and then we have chart 6, and then we're done, okay? So we're almost there. Chart 5 is talking about the beast and his system. Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 8, talks about a beast rising from the sea and the authority that's given to him. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 10 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that God, all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Sometimes we wonder, just how? How will the complex system of the Antichrist dominate the entire world? Like, how? How are people going to fall for that? Like, is it really going to be that easy that they're just going to accept it and they're just going to worship the man of sin? Like, how? How is it going to happen? The book of Revelation provides us with a lot of details, even revealing to us the numeral 666. And even though we get all those details, there will be many hundreds of thousands who will rush headlong to accept him and his mark. Revelation 13, 16 through 18 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man. His number is 666. Revelation 13, 15 says he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Revelation 24 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The Antichrist system has been conditioning minds and our activities for years through the process of the world's systems. Many philosophies of this current generation are a part of that system. Promoting the Antichrist world system is a deceptive philosophy termed humanism. This belief, which is actually a religion, emphasizes man's wisdom rather than God's. It encourages man to solve his problems independently of God. Humanistic educators have definite plans for the children of our nation. In 1973, this was not yesterday, in 1973, before me, a Harvard University professor of education and psychiatry revealed the true intent of humanism in our educational process, as noted in Applying Basic Principles, Supplementary, Volume 10, page 17. It says, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers, towards our elected officials, towards his parents, towards a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you as teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. That breaks my heart. The Antichrist system is real, and it has been working. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If only we could grab on to the revelation of what it means to be children of the King. If only we could understand what it means to be empowered and to be equipped and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We overcome the darkness because in Him there's only light. In Him there's light and no darkness. There's hope because our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is not in the world systems. Our hope is in Jesus. And that brings us to the hope of his return, the rapture of the church. When I was a little girl, this got my heart thumping. The rapture of the church. And when I would think about it, I was very, very literal. Like, I remember doing family devotions with my parents, and they're talking to me about giving my heart to Jesus, and I just sat there and I cried. And my mom's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't want to give my heart to Jesus. Why not? Well, because I'm just going to be walking down the road one day, and he's going to take my heart, and I'm going to die. And she's like, no, it's not that literal, right? So I would think about this, and I would think about these concepts of the end time. But tonight I want to tell you that the rapture of the church is nothing to be afraid of. We get to go home with our Savior. It's a wonderful event. And tonight he's telling us, here's the signs that I'm coming so you can be ready because I want you with me. I want you to be there. I want you to be with me. Now, some people argue and they say, you know what? The word rapture is not in the Bible. You're right, it's not. It's not. It's a word that comes from the Latin, which means to be caught up. No doubt the idea of being caught up is in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We're going to be raptured together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up. That's the rapture, the catching away of the saints. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. It's going to happen. The catching away of the saints. The signs of the time are telling us he's coming soon. How soon? I can't say. You can't say. But we can understand the signs of the time. I appreciate the way, and I would encourage you to listen to this, Brother David Bernard, who is our superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International. The way that he put it, he has, it's a podcast, it's also on YouTube, Apostolic Life in the 21st Century, the 46th episode, in case you're looking for it. He talks about the rapture. This is what he says. Even in the first century, Paul expected the Lord to come in his day. At the beginning of the Pentecostal movement, the early Pentecostals expected the Lord to come in their day. It hasn't happened yet. But were they wrong to think that? Not really, because I think God wants people of every age, every time, every person living to expect his coming. But looking at it objectively, we've never faced a time in human history like this, where Satan is attacking the very foundation of God's original creation. So look at it. He's attacked the family. He's attacked the institution of marriage. That's Genesis 2. Now he's attacking the very identity of human as human beings exclusively as male or female. That's going back to Genesis 1. So the devil is attacking the very fundamentals of God's original creation plan. And humans are talking about cloning. They're talking about genetic modification. They're talking about playing God as never before. And with abortion on one end and euthanasia on the other, it seems that more and more people are intruding into areas that only belong to God. When people start opposing God's will, when they started opposing God's will in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, they tried to build a tower to heaven to evade God's plan and God's judgment, and God brought down judgment. So how long would God wait before he brings judgment? I don't see how it could be very long. So I don't know if it's this year, if it's next year, or in my lifetime. But I do believe the Lord is coming soon. And whatever we believe about the rapture, I think we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And that's what all these signs are for, to be ready, because he's coming. Praise God. You can stand this time, and you don't